Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke. How often does this happen to you? You get a friend request on Facebook from someone whose name you don't recognize. You have mutual friends, you check those names, and you aren't totally sure who some of those people are either. Imagine telling someone 15 years ago that you have some friends, you're not sure who they are, and not in that a stranger is just a friend you haven't met yet optimistic way. Tanya Hollander's new exhibition, Are You Really My Friend?, is currently on view at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts. The show explores through portraits and paraphernalia what friendship means to Tanya and what friendship means today, in the age of social media and easy surface relationships. She set out to connect with and photograph her 626 Facebook friends. I spoke with Tanya and curator Denise Markonish at the museum recently and began by asking Tanya when and where she had the idea for the project.
So it was New Year's Eve 2010, and I was home alone, instant messaging a friend on Facebook who was working on a film in Jakarta. And at the same time, I was writing a handwritten letter to a friend who was deployed in Afghanistan. And I thought two things. One, it was crazy I was home alone on New Year's Eve and on Facebook, but how awesome it was that I was connecting with somebody who was so far away. And then was also thinking about this handwritten letter that I was writing that was very physical versus the instant message, and which got me thinking about communicating in the 21st century and what Facebook has done to the word friend and friendship in general.
And then how does that experience and that realization turn into the events, the travel, and then this?
Well, it's a six-year process.
Right.
So after that night, I spent the next couple months doing a couple things. One, scrolling through my list of Facebook friends and figuring out who they were and where they were, and realized they were from different parts of my life and they were all over the world. And then I started doing research on artists and photographers using social media. And then also I realized if I was going to try and do something with this idea that I needed to look at photographers who photographed families and who traveled. So I spent a lot of time on the FSA, looking at the FSA photographers on the Library of Congress website, which is an incredible resource. And then started thinking about what friendship meant to me and realized that it was sharing a meal with people. It was talking about things, getting into fights about art or politics, and having a couple too many glasses of red wine, but still being friends in the morning. Thinking about all of those things, I decided that it was important for me to travel to everybody's house and photograph them in their homes and to see if they would let me in and if indeed we would share meals and talk and catch up and be more what I thought my definition of a friend was.
How did you begin? Did you begin with someone you were closer to in life? Definitely this is my friend because I know them and we're Facebook friends.
Yeah.
And they live nearby.
On the street. So in 2010, I was photographing friends and family and at home in their studios at work. And so I had sort of already started thinking about this, but again, by the time 2011 came around, I realized I needed something more. So I kind of already started. But when I announced the project, I just sent out an email and said, this is my idea, I would love to come and photograph you. And then I also launched a fundraiser because I was broke, so it was sort of a simultaneous email. I started with the first person who responded to that email, who was my friend Samantha Appleton. She's an ex-girlfriend by like 15 years of a really close friend of mine, but we had stayed in touch because she was a photojournalist. She was working for President Obama as one of the four White House photographers. So she said, I would love for you to come to D.C. and photograph me, and I would love to buy a piece of work. I don't have a lot of money because I work for the government.
Right.
But she offered me, I can't remember what the price was, and she said, to sweeten the deal, I'll give you a tour of the West Wing. And I was like, done and done, like looking at tickets now.
So the email went to everybody at once, all your Facebook friends at one time?
Mm-hmm.
I don't think I have all of my Facebook friends' email addresses.
So in the old days, they were listed on Facebook. You couldn't export them. Well, you could to Yahoo. So I set up a Yahoo account and exported them. And then it was all discombobulated. So I had to go one by one, profile by profile. And I made this initial spreadsheet which has also become a theme of the project spreadsheets. we'll talk about that later.
Sure.
And put in everybody's name and where they lived and their email address.
At what point, Denise, does Masmoka become involved? I know it wasn't yesterday.
No, not at all. I also love that in you saying that even from the very beginning, you had to like set up another email address, like that every step of the way, the data has told you to stop doing this project, but you never stopped. And I think that's one thing that like is one of the reasons why it's awesome that it's here, because I think Masmoka is very much that same way. Like, by hell or high water, we're going to make happen what we make happen. And so, you know, it goes back a long time. Tanya and I actually first met when I was working in Brockton, Massachusetts at the Fuller Museum. I did a show there called Almost Home, which was photographers photographing domestic space. And that was in 2001, and Tanya was in that show. And we had just always kept in touch. You know, we didn't see each other very often. You know, I was on her mailing list, and I got an email from Tanya one day and said, I'm going to be coming through the area. I'm working on this big project. I'd love to talk to you about it. So she came in, and she had some of the early test prints of things that she had been doing. And I'm trying to remember, what year was that?
It was on my way back from driving across country, so it was 2013, spring of 2013.
I thought it was a great project, and one of the reasons why I personally was really interested in it, because I'm not on Facebook. I actually avoid social media and data and spreadsheets with, like, the plague. I love information, but, like, social media was just something I never wanted to, like, dip my toe into. I'm sort of private person, and I feel like everything I do is very public-facing, so there's part of me that I want to hold back. And so I liked that, you know, here's this project that starts with social media, but it's really about contact. It's really about how people get to know other people, how people who you might barely know can welcome you into their home. It's about hospitality, you know, all of those things that Tanya talked about, sharing a meal with one another, and somebody saying, you can sleep on my couch. And like Tanya, I'm also a fan of that history of photography. So the FSA photographers or Robert Franks, the Americans, they say so much about a time and a place. And whether you're on social media, it says so much about our time and our place right now. So I thought it was a really amazing project to bring here. And I also thought, you know, given the scale of Masmoka, we were probably a good institution to be able to present the whole thing when it was finished. And because we often work on very long timelines too, so.
What is the physical makeup of the show? What will people see when they come to Masmoka?
So I guess we can start from the beginning. You see 7 large portraits on your left, and then you go into a portrait room, and there are 21 more? They are 42 by 42 inches, so almost 4 feet by 4 feet. And then on the other side of that are a couple self-portraits, the beginning, emotional beginning and end, I like to say, of the body of work. One is Dinner with Friends at My House that I was sort of telling you about. The other is the morning after the attacks in Paris, where I just happened to be working on this project. And that's the self-portrait with the friends I was with that night. And then behind that wall is a short documentary film about the project. And then you come into the big galleries, and there are 6 grids of the 3 categories that sort of carry you through the show. Travel ephemera, all of the stuff that I saved from my trips, from museum guides and maps to boarding passes to funny bags of potato chips in foreign countries. Then there are iPhone pictures and digital snapshots and post-it notes that I collected also throughout my travels, asking people what they thought a real friend was.
And you did that here at Masmoka as well.
Yes, we did that during Solid Sound 2015 and Fresh Grass that same year. And so a number of those are on the banners in the exhibition, so people will be able to see if they can find their own post-it notes. And we're going to continue to collect them during the run of the exhibition here. So in one of the galleries, there'll be a whole station where people can write post-its and pin them up over the course of the show.
The ephemera that you saved, how did it occur to you to save that stuff and include it?
I might be a hoarder.
All right.
I save, you know, I always save exhibition invitations. I don't know why, like if I'm ever going to go through the boxes and boxes and boxes I have of them. I guess I generally save travel stuff. I was just throwing them in plastic bins when I would get back from a trip, and then, you know, I'm starting to organize stuff when I was done, and I have these, like, plastic bins overflowing in my studio. So I started taking stuff out, like, what am I going to do with this? Like, am I going to show it as the actual objects in the show? At the same time, I'm scanning the Post-it notes, and I'm like, wait, some of the colors are similar to the Post-it notes, but not exactly similar. So then I decided I would scan them in the way that I scan the Post-it notes. But then I had to get colored paper that matched, and, you know, this project always becomes something more than I think. It goes off in these different directions. Mm-hmm. Poor Denise with the emails that I send her, like, what do you think about this?
Well, and I think that's what was so interesting. The process was so organic. You know, when we first met back in 2013, it was just talking about portraits.
Yeah.
You know, and even then you didn't know how many you would be able to do. You know, you had, what did it start out as, 626 people, and then 430 portraits. And so, you know, we're like, oh, is this a show of portraits, which would be a great show. But then as Tanya continued to travel, she realized it was just as much about her experience of traveling to all of these places and the how did she get there, what did she experience when she got there, and not just the extraordinary things like, you know, being stuck in a flood and caught in your car in Texas to the attacks in Paris, but just the very simple thing of, you know, where you had coffee every morning.
Right.
And I think pretty early on you decided that you would start documenting everything. And so then as we were trying to figure out, well, what is this show? You know, we don't really want to show bins of stuff, even though that's interesting, but how can we turn it into something else? How do you make masses of information palatable? So that people don't just walk away. And actually the room that we're standing in now is really a testament to that, where at one point we were talking about, like, how do we present all of this stuff? We're not going to print every portrait large and hang it up. Even Massimoco wouldn't have the room for that. And so...
Maybe if I had all of Building 6.
All of Building 6, exactly.
It's not ready yet.
And, you know, and so we talked about this idea really kind of early on about doing wallpaper.
Yeah.
Wallpaper with all of the portraits on it. And then we came up with this notion of, well, then what if, you know, if we have all of these portraits, which are all grids, and all the images are square, so they turn into these really nice grids. Tanya was like, well, what if we make grids of selections of all of this ephemera and all of these Post-it notes and the snapshots? And so we worked with a company, Design Techs, to print them on, like, sheer curtain material. So they're these large banners which hang from ceiling to floor. But you can see through them. So they're very of the home, but they're full of images. And we'll have binders that will tell you everything about what each image is and, like, where they came from. And so for those sort of information nerds, you can completely dig into it, or you can just look at it as, you know, pure visual. And there'll be iPads in the back, too, where you can go even deeper into the wormhole.
Yeah.
And online, so you can access the show from anywhere in the world. That was something that was really important to me. It will be done...
sometime.
Yeah.
That's fine.
We're in beta right now with the website.
I'm speaking with artist Tanya Hollander and curator Denise Markanish about Are You Really My Friend? The exhibition is currently on view at Massmoca in North Adams, Massachusetts.
626 Facebook friends. How many did you end up shooting? All of them?
No. I think I did not shoot around 175. I need to have that number handy. And that was a combination of scheduling issues. Only about 20 people flat out said no. Okay. Of that 626. There are a couple no-show, no-calls businesses. Yeah, like 13 businesses. Because in the beginning they didn't have, you know, it was. It's interesting.
Right, I remember.
How
yeah.
Far along, how the different steps of Facebook have come while I've been.
A business page is now something called a page, but it used to be an account also. Yeah. That was your friend, right?
That was your friend, yeah.
Can you not friend businesses now?
You can like them.
You can like them, but not friend them.
This business is not your friend.
These are the things. These are the things that get me laughed at, because I'm like in meetings and I would say things like, is this something about the Facebook? And everybody would look at me and ridicule me, which is, again, I think why it's good that I'm the curator of this show, because I can be kind of like naive about that thing, because I think even though it started out with this Facebook thing, it's we've always said it's so much more than Facebook. So
I think one of the first questions you asked me or via email was, what's IRL mean?
I'm learning in real life.
Were there any surprising challenges as you set out? I mean, there's always travel challenges, financial challenges, logistics, but where does the artistic keep pushing through the logistical problems?
Sleeping on the side of the road in the car in Texas, definitely there was, is this what art is? Because if it is, like, screw this, you know, yeah. I'm done. I'm definitely done. I think the major surprise to me was how welcoming people were. And, you know, I felt like it was like the old days going by horse and buggy and, like, you knocking on somebody's door and then them giving you a place to sleep and, like, the last bit of bread. Because I did start when the economy crashed and most of my friends were artists or freelancers or somehow creative and everybody was really, really struggling. Mm-hmm. But still feeding me, and especially people that I didn't know very well, still that kindness and generosity. And even up until the last portrait in Israel in Tel Aviv was a friend of my little sister's from sixth grade, and I literally had not seen this guy, you know, maybe, I'm sure I'd seen him since then, but, and here he was with his wife and very newborn, like Leo was, he was maybe like 2 weeks old. Wow. And I was scheduling this portrait from the States, and he's like, you know, my wife is 9 months pregnant. And I'm like, I cannot do it. And he's like, no, please come. So the due date, I think, was like June 8th, and the portrait was scheduled for June 3rd. And she ended up having the baby early, so, and they welcomed me in. I mean, like, how crazy is that?
Yeah, I cannot imagine doing that. Was it just, like, kismet circumstance that they were the last ones?
Yeah. Well, I was trying to get them actually on the trip before that, which was going around the world. Kuala Lumpur and Auckland were also on that trip, but flying from Israel to Kuala Lumpur and vice versa was proving incredibly difficult. It was not any easier, let me tell you, flying from Athens to Tel Aviv. I was detained for hours and almost missed my flight.
I like it. What did you say? Like, you don't go to Israel with, you know, three cameras and no suitcase.
Yeah, I was only going for 24 hours.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. Like,
they were like, a day trip? I don't believe you.
Yes, totally.
You know, from Greece.
Yeah. And I was detained, and they were like, you know, they ask you all these questions as normally, it's normal to get interrogated for like half an hour to 45 minutes by Israeli security. And they're like, so you're going to take one picture. And I was like, yeah. And they're like, and then you're getting on a plane back. And I was like, uh-huh. And they're like, and so what are you going to do? And I was like, I have a show at a museum in Massachusetts. And they're like, who owns the museum? And I was like, that's actually a really good question. So, yeah. When you're explaining it to international security, it actually sounds much crazier.
Oh, no, sure. Of course it does. And it's, I mean, it sounds, do they let you, like, pull up the website and be like, it's this, I promise.
Oh, I'm sure I was, they were on the Google. I mean, it was, like, three of them that were back and forth, you know, because they ask you the same questions to try and trip you up.
Right.
Yeah, when I was in the bad people part of the airport where they were just, like, they search you once in the regular part, and then I got taken to the bad people part, and it's, like, this weird secret room. And with all these x-ray machines, and I was like, so what are the chances I can do your portrait while I'm here?
Zero.
Yeah, totally. They did.
Is there a number less than zero?
But they did let me take a picture of the water cooler of the interrogation room. I was like, can I at least get one picture down here? Because it's really part of the project. And they're like, all right.
You mentioned spreadsheets, data being important, being all-consuming, I think.
Yes.
Say more about that.
So there are 5,701 images in the show.
Whoa.
Worth a laugh, yes.
A lot even for Mass Mocha.
And I actually have a couple folders of thousands that that will eventually go online that I just couldn't edit out. Well, I mean, they're edited out from the show. I edited down from over 100,000.
I bet, yeah.
So each image has a location, a title, and a date. So all of that information is in spreadsheets. And I've had Mass Mocha interns, friends, I have my family, like, across the world. I've got somebody in Greece, somebody in London, I've got friends in Massachusetts and Dallas, and they've been helping me identify images and label them so that when you go to the database, you can type in Greece, and all of the images from Greece, all the post-it notes, all the travel ephemera will come up. So that has been a long and tedious process.
Even with the technology we have now, you just still have to have people on it.
Yeah, as you know, I've tried to automate different parts of it to make it easier, and there's just no way to automate it. I mean, even with the banners, I was like trying to write a program so I could put at least 10 images at once in Photoshop, and it was really, I had to hand do it and look at the colors next to each other, and were there too many boarding passes in a row, you know? Yeah.
I mean, in some ways, the portraits were the easy part.
Yeah, totally, they were. Usually the large prints like are what kills me, you know, they take so much time to do. And when I got to the large prints, that's what I did last. I was like, oh, finally, just making one picture. Right.
The straightforward thing that is, this is art because it's photography and here it goes.
Yeah. Absolutely.
In the sort of the last room, if you come straight through the show, you have specifically singled out kids that you got to know better as you did this, or know it all. How did you decide that you wanted to feature these children?
I think one of the things that I learned through this project was I really enjoyed, I'm not a kid person necessarily, but I really enjoy getting to know the families, and some of these kids were so awesome that I ended up taking their portraits. And so when, again, one of these things, when we were pulling the show together, I realized that I wanted to show those as well, because I felt like they were an important part of the project. Like, I can tell you, you know, I walked on the beach in Dublin with one of my friends, Jeff Charlotte, who I was, that same trip we were in Paris together, and his daughter Roxy wanted to collect seashells with me. And so, like, I have this picture that's a little bit fuzzy because it was dusk, but I still feel like it was an important one to include in the show, because we had this like really special moment collecting shells on the beach. And then Maya and Martin Ladd were two amazing kids that were friends of mine from their father. Mike Ladd was a friend from Hampshire, and I hadn't seen him in many years, had never met his wife of 10 years and met his kids, and they were just like amazing. So I did their individual portraits. So that was sort of something that I wanted everybody, when they're in the show, to get the understanding that I felt like in some ways I became part of people's families, even if it was only for a couple days.
It's also really nice, I think, the two pictures, large pictures that are hanging next to the kids' portraits are of a family that you photographed, and their kids are quite young, and then the picture next to it is the kids a few years later. And it's also this amazing thing of, you know, there are the people who you've just met, there are the people who you've had long relationships with and you see over and over again, and like having this one moment here where you can see time happen, I think, is also a really nice part of the project.
And then on this last wall, another element that shows time marching forward, there's an in memoriam wall.
Yeah, so that was another hard thing because I am very attached to the families that I photograph, and so when the first person died that I photographed, it really hit me. And it was right before the holidays, and then another one died that same year, and it wasn't until 2014. So things had been going happily along, and then that happened, and then three more have died since then. So when the first one happened, I remember emailing Denise, like, I don't know how to talk about this in the show, because obviously, you know, a friend's death of a family member isn't, like, about me, but I feel really connected to these people by photographing them. And so I think we just sort of agreed that it was something that happened and we would figure out how to do it in the end. And so then I decided, when all the elements were coming together, that I wanted to do a memorial wall, and I wanted those images to be framed really nicely, and they're the only ones that are framed in the show.
You've been working on it for a long time. You've shown parts of it in other places. Now that it's all here, and I know you said you're still working on the website and stuff, so it's not like it's completely out of your veins, but where you are now, how do you feel?
I'm excited. I'm proud. I was thinking right before you came, like, I can't wait to sit on the couch in the other room and just, like, rest and absorb it all.
Are You Really My Friend is currently on view at Mass MoCA in North Adams, Massachusetts. I spoke with artist Tanya Hollander and curator Denise Markanish at the museum. To learn more, visit massmoca.org. That link will be posted along with this interview at wamc.org/roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.